I have been asked to talk about be pitiful. I got to looking and there's not very many words that represent be pitiful. But I think I could talk for an hour on it or longer. In 1 Peter 3:8, it tells us, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Be pitiful and be courteous." I want to talk about this word pitiful in the context that it's used for us. It has other meanings. My mother used to say the word pitiful when she was talking about things that were not good. I think about her this week, the beginning of the week, she's been dead 1 year. But I think about her a lot. This verse contains 5 commandments from Peter. We can't leave out any of these commandments if we expect to receive anything from our Father. In this verse, Peter writes to all believers, wives, husbands, slaves, to obey these commands as we have a relationship with each other. You can't have compassion without love. And how are you to be pitiful without love? And what good is it to be courteous without compassion? And how are we to be of one mind if we do not comply with every one of these instructions? Every one of these commands is necessary for a cohesive relationship and selflessness toward others. We are to be of the same mind with one way of thinking. We should be very interested in the welfare and feelings of others. We should be committed to each other with a godly love, concerned with each other's well-being. We are to be kind and compassionate. We should set our desires and wants aside to do these commandments. When we do these things, we support others. We often need the support of others, and we ask it from God. We should give it when we have the opportunity. We should recognize when others need support, and we should be glad to give it. We expect our prayers to be answered when we need support, so we should freely give it. If you will, turn over to Psalms 103, and I believe Brother Pat read a verse or two from here. I want to read verses 1 through 18. This chapter has a lot to do with what I'm talking about today, so pay attention. "Bless thee, Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless thee, Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." These are benefits to us, these things that are given. This verse in 1 Peter. "Bless thee, Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgive all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And this is what we're looking for. We want our youth renewed. We want to live forever. "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You know, we know what our children are going to have to go through as life goes along. So we do pity our children. "For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone." That's our life. It don't take long. It hasn't been long since I was here at the Bible school, and I was 5 or 6 years old. It just passes by like the wind. It's gone. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto children. To such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. That's what we're talking about this verse. 1 Peter 3:8, the commandments. We are to do them. And also turn over to Psalms 147. Verses 3, 6, and 11. Verse 3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. 6, the Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked to the ground. And 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy, and those that do his will. He takes pleasure. Look at Romans. There's one comment that I want. We are doing what we are commanded. When we do these things, we can help others heal. We're doing the work that the Lord has for us to do. And he takes pleasure in us doing those commandments that he has for us to do. Look at Romans 12, verses 2 and 5, and then I've got some other verses also. And be not conformed to this world, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. We have to remember these things. We have to help each other. Verses 9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Verses 13 and then 15 through 18. Distributing to the necessity of the strength given to hospitality. 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. These verses that Paul tell us how to treat our brethren. We are members of one body. These verses give the same instruction that Peter gave in 1 Peter. To have love, to be courteous, to be at one with our brethren, and to weep with those that weep, to be pitiful with them, to understand how they're feeling. 1 Peter, this whole chapter, gives instructions that bind true believers to get along together, that teach the golden rule, instructions that promote Christ's teachings, his love and God's love for those that do his will. Our conduct can and will affect others positively or negatively, and us positively or negatively. Look at 1 Peter 3:2. 3:12, excuse me. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So we want to do what he has for us to do. We don't want to leave anything out. I have a few commentaries that I found on the internet. This is Matthew Poole's commentary on Be Pitiful. It tells us to be ready to show mercy of a merciful disposition. Ephesians 4:32 tells believers to be kind one to another and to be tender-hearted, to forgive as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Colossians 3:12 and 13 says, put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. And I want you to keep in mind this bowels of mercy, because I have something to say about it in just a minute. And what does Bibles have to say about, what did they tell us about mercy? Verse 13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any man, even as Christ forgave you, you also do. And I want to read verses 14 through 17 in that chapter. Colossians 3, starting at verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. These are notes from Barnes on the Bible. The words used to be pitiful occur nowhere else in the Bible except for 4:32, this particular word, and it is rendered tender-hearted. Benson's commentary says the Greek word is literally good bowels, the meaning to be moved with compassion on beholding the weaknesses and distresses of others and do all you can to assist and relieve them. From the Greek words 4184 and 4698, I could not pronounce them, means to strengthen from the spleen and intestine, pity or sympathy, bowels, inward affection, and tender mercy. The bowel is located over here on the side, right below the heart and on the side of the stomach. The spleen is located there. Wikipedia says the word spleen comes from the ancient Greek word and is the idiomatic equivalent of the heart in English. And it means to be good. The spleen means to be good-hearted or compassionate. The spleen plays important roles to red blood cells and our immune system. It also promotes healing. This is how we are supposed to help with healing. The spleen is purple in color, and this could represent royalty. It synthesizes its white pulp. We know that white represents purity and removes antibiotic-coated bacteria and antibiotic-coated blood cells. It promotes tissue healing. The red blood cells could represent sin that is removed by prayer. The absence of a spleen causes a predisposition to certain infections, and it also can cause memory loss. There are probably many other analogies that we can use today, but, you know, time is not permitting. God knows all of them, even to the dividing asunder of bone and marrow. We as a body or an ecclesia have to function properly to stay healthy. Ellicott's commentary for English readers is tender-hearted, as in Ephesians 4:32. The only other place it occurs, it differs from sympathetic in being limited to yearning over the afflicted. Strangely enough, in profane Greek, the word is only found to mean strong-hearted. God's people are required to suffer. We are to refuse evil and do good, refuse to seek revenge when wronged. We are to charge to stay strong, to demonstrate God's power. When we are strong, we can help others. James 5:11 reads, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the very end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. The word pitiful in Greek means extremely compassionate or very pitiful. This is an attribute of God to us. If we desire what he has to offer, we should try to be like him. Is this not our probation, to try to be like him and to do the things that he wants us to do? And I want to read in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 16. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender of mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is there any among you? Let him call for the elders of the ecclesia and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I want to close by reading one scripture, and that is Peter 2:17. 1 Peter 2:17. And it says, for us to honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. Thank you.